Welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, bringing you programs from radio's golden years. I'm your host, Mark Lefonier. An hour of sitcoms ahead of us. Later, it's The Life of Riley from 1947. But first, a broadcast of My Favorite Husband, starring Richard Denning and Lucille Ball, from January 21st, 1949 on CBS.
AFN Europe presents the radio comedy series My Favorite Husband, starring Lucille Ball with Richard Denning.
Well, I see the inauguration came off all right.
Mm-hmm. George, what's a seven-letter word meaning dull-witted beast of burden?
Husband.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, that isn't right, George.
Liz, why don't you forget those crossword puzzles and read the rest of the paper? You'll learn something.
I learned plenty from these puzzles. I can hold my own in any conversation.
Sure, if they happen to be talking about an Indonesian sun god or a three-toed sloth. But how about current events?
Just try me.
All right. Who's president of the United States?
In how many letters?
Okay. Where did president take his oath of office?
On a special platform built in front of the Capitol building.
Well, how did you happen to know that?
It showed through the hole when I cut out the crossword puzzle.
Oh, I should have known. Well, try this. Who administered the oath?
What?
I give up. Go back to your crossword puzzle.
Oh, wait a minute, George. Hold that paper up again.
What are you looking at?
Look. Paul Buchanan elected president at Jewelers Convention. Huh. I wonder if that's the Paul Buchanan who went to school with us.
Yeah. His father was in the jewelry business.
Yeah.
Gee, how did you happen to remember him?
Oh, I'll never forget Paul. Oh, we used to have dates together.
I don't like the way you say that.
Oh, Paul and I sure had a lot of fun. Gosh, he was romantic.
Romantic? What did he have that I didn't have?
4 years of playing tuba in the school band. You know, I might have married Paul if it hadn't been for that tuba business.
What are you talking about?
Well, one night we drove up to Inspiration Point. Oh, it was so beautiful. We got out to look at the moon. And he took me in his arms. And he kissed me.
Yes?
Then someone turned on their car radio to band music, and he carried me 3 blocks playing Stars and Stripes Forever.
Well, I don't know what you saw in him anyway.
So Paul became a jeweler, huh? Mm-hmm. Oh, well.
What do you mean, oh, well?
Well, I was just thinking. If I'd married him, I'll bet I'd have had an engagement ring.
Oh, Liz, you know I couldn't afford to buy you an engagement ring in those days. Anyway, what if you didn't have one? Everybody knew we were engaged.
Yeah, you made me wear a sweatshirt with your initials on it.
I did not. The initials stood for gym class. You thought it was a clever idea because, well, they were the same as mine. Yeah, you did look cute in it.
Thanks. I was lovely. I was engaged. I was dressed like Maxie Rosenblum. Well, we did have fun in those days, didn't we, George? George?
I suppose you wish you'd married Paul so you could have had a big diamond engagement ring.
Oh, I do not. George, I'd rather be married to you than anyone else in the whole world.
Well?
Here, let me sit on your lap. Hold me tight, George. Tighter. Tighter!
Oh, but Liz!
Go ahead, pretend I'm a sack of potatoes and mash me.
Oh, you're cute. I'll bet Buchanan wouldn't have appreciated you the way I do.
I don't want to hear another word about Paul Buchanan. Now, give me a kiss.
Oh, but Liz, we've been talking about him, and kissing me isn't going to change.
Now, what were you saying about Paul?
Paul who?
This is like old times. Remember the way we used to smooch when we were in school?
Yeah. I used to throw my handkerchiefs away so my mother wouldn't see the lipstick.
Really? George, tell me why you married me.
Oh, it was cheaper than buying new handkerchiefs.
I like that.
Hey, where are you going?
To get our scrapbook. I kind of forget what you used to look like before we got married.
Well, hurry up. My lap is cold.
Okay, here I am. Look, here's our wedding picture. You know, you haven't changed much.
I haven't changed at all. I sure was handsome then.
What a ham. Oh, here it is, George, our marriage license.
Now, there's an historic document.
Mm-hmm. It marks a great event. On this day, Elizabeth Elliot was married to George Hooper.
What?
Look, they spelled your name wrong on the license. Instead of George H. Cooper, it says George C. Hooper.
Huh. That's funny. I never noticed that before.
George, you don't suppose this license is still legal, isn't it?
Oh, of course.
Yes, George. So he'd even think of it.
Look at this next picture, Liz.
Well, what if there is a George Hooper? You don't think there really is one, do you, George?
Well, maybe. What of it?
Well, for 10 years, I may have been living with the wrong man.
Oh, Liz, don't be silly. Look at this picture.
Oh, this is awful. For all I know, I'm married to a short, fat man with a toupee.
Liz.
Quick, hide in the closet. My husband may be home any minute.
Now, Liz, just calm down. You and I are married. A mistaken spelling can't alter that.
But, George, laws are so funny. I've heard of real strange things happening. You know someone down at City Hall. Call him up and ask him if we're really married.
They're not open now, and I wouldn't be that silly anyway.
Not even for my peace of mind?
No.
Well, then I'll go down myself in the morning.
All right, but tonight, let's look at these pictures. Come on, sit on my lap.
I'll sit beside you, if you don't mind, till I find out just where I stand.
Oh.
The Marriage License Bureau, Ridgely speaking.
Joe, this is George Cooper.
Oh, hiya, George. Long time no see.
Joe, I called to ask you about a marriage license.
Marriage license? You got married 10 years ago.
Yeah, I know it. But last night, we found a mistake in the license. They spelled my name wrong.
It's no use, George. You can't worm out of it on a technicality.
Now, listen, my wife is coming down to see you, and I want to play a joke on her. Tell her we're not really married. I want to kid her along for a couple of days.
Oh, that's a cruel one. Okay, George, I'll do it.
Pardon me, is this the Marriage License Bureau?
Yes.
Well, I don't know how to say this, but I want to ask you about a marriage license. I feel awful silly.
Everybody does. Hey, where's the sucker? The groom.
Well, I'm already married. Here's my license. There's something wrong with it.
Oh, I see. Well, what seems to be the trouble, Mrs. Hooper?
Oh, that's just it. My name isn't Hooper. I don't even know George Hooper.
Well, if you didn't know him, you never should have married him.
I didn't. I'm married to George Cooper.
Cooper?
Yes.
Oh. Now, tell me something.
What?
Does Hooper know about this?
Look, this whole thing is a big mistake. There is no George Hooper. He's non-existent. He's a nothing. He's a nobody.
Whatever made you marry a bum like that?
Please try to understand. My husband's name is George Cooper. It's spelled Hooper on the license. Does that matter?
Does it matter? Well.
It does?
How long has this been going on?
10 years.
Oh, you ought to be ashamed.
You mean just because his name is spelled wrong, I'm not married to him?
That's what I mean, Miss Elliot.
Miss Elliot? Oh, dear. You mean I'm single again? How can a thing like this happen to me?
I don't know. You're just lucky, I guess.
Oh, this is dreadful. How can I face my friends? Tell me something.
Why?
Is there a foreign legion for women?
Hello,
you, Liz?
Oh, George.
Hi, dear. Give me a kiss.
No. No. Don't touch me.
Huh? Why not?
I'm no longer yours to touch.
What?
George, I checked our marriage license.
Oh. What'd you find out?
You and I should be ashamed.
What do you mean?
The man at the license bureau put the padlock on our wedlock.
You don't mean a little thing like a misspelled name means our license isn't any good.
That's right.
Oh, this is terrible.
Well, there's only one thing we can do, George. We'll just have to get married again. Now, if we hurry, we can get down to the license bureau before it closes. Let's go. Come on, get your hat. George? Come on, what's the matter?
I was just thinking, maybe we shouldn't rush into this thing. Well, after all, Liz, marriage is a serious business. Maybe we don't know each other well enough.
We know each other well enough? Why, for 10 years we've been...
Please, not so loud. Neighbors might hear you.
George Cooper, do you mean you have to think about whether you'll marry me or not?
Well, Liz, I like you a lot.
Well, thanks.
But you know how it is. Before I settle on one girl, I want to look the field over.
George, do you mean you wish you hadn't married me 10 years ago?
Oh, no. I just thought there's no use in making the same mistake twice. I mean...
You don't want to marry me? You don't love me?
Well, Liz, I like you a lot.
Oh, stop saying that. Mrs. Cooper, could I see you a minute? Oh, can it wait, Katie? I'm trying to get my husband to marry me.
No, this is very important.
All right. Excuse me, Mr. Cooper.
Certainly, Miss Elliot.
Oh.
What is it, Katie? I wanted to tell you about this marriage business. It's a joke.
A joke? What do you mean?
Well, I overheard Mr. Cooper talking to the man at the license bureau. They're playing a joke on you. You're really still married?
I am.
Sure.
Why, that's... Katie, I wonder how he'd react if he thought I didn't speak to his friend at all. Let's just find out. What's so funny?
The look on your face when you left the room. Oh, honey, I can't stand it any longer. It's all a joke.
It is? What a surprise.
Yeah, I fixed it up with Joe Ridgely at the License Bureau. You know, my friend. We used to play football together.
You played football with that little guy?
Little guy? Oh, Joe's 6'2".
Oh. Well, then the man I talked to wasn't Joe.
Huh?
Well, the man who waited on me was little and skinny and old and he wore glasses.
Well, but Liz, if you didn't talk to Joe, then the guy you talked to meant what he said, and that means that...
That's right, George. We're really not married.
Oh, well, what's the difference? It'll be sort of fun to be married all over again. Come on, we can get to the license bureau before it closes. Come on, get your hat, Liz. Come on. What's the matter?
I was just thinking, maybe we shouldn't rush into this thing.
What are you saying?
Well, George, I like you a lot.
Now, wait a minute.
Well, you know how it is. Before I settle on one man, I just want to look the field over.
Liz!
Well, there's so many men I've always wanted to have dates with. I think I'll phone one of them right now.
Oh, Liz, you're not serious.
You'll see.
Hotel Biltmore.
I'd like to speak to Paul Buchanan, please.
Paul Buchanan?
He's there at the jeweler's convention.
One moment, and I will bring his room.
Thank you.
Now, let's talk this over a minute.
Hello?
Hello. Is this Paul Buchanan?
Yes.
Well, this is an old girlfriend. Recognize my voice?
No, I'm sorry, I don't.
Oh, this is the redhead you used to go steady with.
I'm sorry, but I still can't quite place you.
You remember... The queen of the rumble seat?
Liz!
I thought that was you.
Oh, this is ridiculous.
Well, how are you, Liz?
Oh, thanks, Paul, I'd love to go out with you tonight.
Yeah, but Liz, I'm married. I've got 6 kids.
No, I'm still single.
We must have a bad connection. I said I am married.
Well, I'd like to see you again too, Paul. I'll never forget that wavy blonde hair of yours.
Neither will I. I wish I still had it.
Keep falling down in your eyes, huh?
Oh, brother.
See, you sound very strange, Liz. Is there anything wrong?
Oh, Paul, you always did say the sweetest things.
What are you talking about? All I said was, is anything wrong?
Oh, Paul, what if the operator's listening?
Liz, why are you acting so funny?
Well, honey, I still think a lot about you, too.
Yes. Well, Liz, it's been nice talking to you. Goodbye.
Oh, you.
One moment, please. You've been disconnected. Shall I ring your party again?
Oh, I'd love to, Paul. It'll be wonderful to go to a party again.
I shall try to ring them. Whom were you calling, please?
Oh, you darling.
I am sorry. We have no one listed at the hotel by the name of Oh, You Darling.
Well, that sounds divine, Paul.
We had a Mr. Paul Divine, but he checked out yesterday.
All right. 8:30 at the Flamingo Room of the Biltmore.
I'm sorry, but the Biltmore does not allow flamingos in the rooms after 8 o'clock.
Well, I'll see you tonight, then.
Not if I see you first, sister.
Goodbye.
Now, Liz, you're not going out with that guy.
Were you talking to me, Mr. Cooper? You seem to forget we're not married. Well, I have to go and get dressed. Where are you going tonight?
Don't worry about me.
Bravo, Mrs. Cooper.
Katie, you heard it.
Oh, I wouldn't have missed it for the world. What happens now?
Well, I'm going to get dressed and go out the front door. You slip out the back door and meet me at the corner.
What are we going to do?
Well, George thinks I have a date with Paul Buchanan at the Biltmore. But really, you and I are spending the evening with Humphrey Bogart at the Strand Movie Theater. Pretty good picture, didn't you think so, Katie?
I didn't like it. They had too much salt in their popcorn. Well, there's the Biltmore Hotel.
Oh, yeah, that's where George thinks I am.
Oh, say, there's a big crowd in front of the window. Oh, there must have been a wreck.
Katie, when you see a crowd in front of a window these days, it isn't a wreck, it's television.
Oh, well, maybe they're showing a wrestling match.
Oh, wait a minute. It isn't television. It's some sort of a brawl.
Well, let's see what's happening.
Okay, you're ready. Okay, break it up. Now, face, what's going on around here?
Officer, if you'll kindly let go my arm, I'll tell you.
Katie, it is wrestling. There's Gorgeous George.
All I know, officer, is I was walking out of the hotel, and this man came up to me, and he said, "Are you Paul Buchanan?" And when I said yes, he hit me.
Oh, I had no idea George was so jealous. Isn't it wonderful?
Is that Paul Buchanan?
Yes, my, he has changed. A bald head, a pouch, and a black eye.
Everything happens to me. It's a dirty trick. 13 minutes more, and I'm off duty.
Well, if I'd only known, I would have waited and hit him on your day off.
Oh, a wise guy. What's your name, pretty boy?
George Cooper.
George Cooper? I thought you looked familiar. Didn't we go to school together?
You bet we did, but that's no excuse for you to try to date my wife.
Why, I don't even know your wife.
You knew her as Liz Elliott.
Oh, the Queen of Rumblesea.
Why, you... All right, calm down, or I'll run your boat.
Oh, Katie, isn't this exciting?
Oh, it's better than the movie. I wish I'd saved some of my popcorn.
You listen to me, Cooper. I talked to Liz Elliott this afternoon, and she is not married to you.
She is, too.
That's the phoniest story I ever heard, bub. You better come down to the station with me.
Oh, poor Mr. Cooper.
Oh, Katie, he heard you.
There's my wife, Liz. She'll tell you that I'm not lying. Liz, tell him this guy made a date with you. Tell him we're married. Tell him you're my wife. Well, why don't you say something?
Hello, stranger.
Just like I thought.
Oh, Liz, cut the kidding. Tell him the truth.
Come on, I'm going to run you in. You'll get 30 days for this.
Oh, no, don't arrest him, officer.
Sorry, my mind's made up.
Even if I ask you real nice, hey?
Hey, you from Brooklyn, eh?
Yeah, Moytel Avenue already.
Yes, well, I'll be done.
Ain't it a small world, though? Look, chum, I think I can clear up this whole thing for you.
Yeah, huh?
Paul, will you drop charges if George buys an engagement ring from you, huh?
Why, certainly, Liz, I'd do that.
Okay, George, buy me an engagement ring and you can go free, hey?
Hello, stranger.
You, buy this poor little Brooklyn girl a ring.
Yeah, buy this poor little Brooklyn girl a ring.
Oh, this is a holdup.
Here you are, Liz. You can pick one out right now from my sample case.
All right. Oh, they're all so pretty.
Yes, well, now, what would you like, George? One for 200, 300?
You have one for 100. You have one for 500.
Yes, yes, I do.
Oh, I'll take it, hey.
Oh.
Isn't that beautiful?
Scintillating.
Now can we go home?
Oh, wait a minute. Officer, don't you think that before a man gives a girl an engagement ring, he ought to propose formally?
I sure do. You, propose.
Paul, Leah's not here. People are watching.
You, kneel. Is that okay, pal?
Both knees.
You, both knees. I know him.
All right. I'm ready.
Liz, I love you. Will you marry me? Let's get out of here.
Officer, I don't think that was very romantic. I think you should have called me by a pet name, maybe.
I do, too. What do you have in mind, eh?
Oh, he knows which name I mean.
Oh, no.
You hate that. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. Will you marry me? Tootly Woodleyums?
Oh, George, of course I will.
Ain't that romantic? When are you going to get married?
10 years ago.
10 years? Hey, that's impossible.
Who cares? I got back my favorite husband. George. Oh, George.
Liz, are you still awake?
Uh-huh. I'm all sort of tense and jittery. Well, I know what would help me. Some nice, warm milk.
That's a good idea.
Mm-hmm. Why doesn't one of us get up and get me some nice, warm milk?
You're right. One of us certainly should get up and get it.
Apparently, the one who should get up is no gentleman.
That's right. He's a lady.
Ah, George.
Okay, okay. Where are my slippers? Ouch! Darn that chair. Liz, would you like some chocolate in the milk? Liz? Liz? How do you like that? Good night, Liz.
My Favorite Husband, Untuned to Yesterday, a CBS radio broadcast from January 21st, 1949. This is an hour of sitcoms, Untuned to Yesterday. I'm Mark Livonier. Coming up next, The Life of Riley, starring comedian and also dramatic actor William Bendix. In the movies, he was an in-demand character actor, appearing in 5 motion pictures in 1947, the year of this episode, one of the standouts being The Web, a noir picture where he played a police lieutenant alongside Ella Raines, Edmund O'Brien, and Vincent Price. This Life of Riley broadcast from September 20th, 1947 on NBC.
Shampoo that removes dandruff in as little as 3 minutes and leaves hair radiantly clean, radiantly lovely, presents The Life of Riley with William Bendix as Riley. As a rule, the members of the Riley family get along quite amicably. But every now and then, the father and the son come into conflict with each other. a conflict that's usually resolved when the more intelligent of the two gives in gracefully. But today, Junior Riley seems particularly stubborn.
But, Pop, why can't I get a jalopy? I can drive swell.
Junior, stop arguing. I told you for the last time you're not getting no car.
But, Pop, it's only $40.
$40? You must think I'm made of dough. All I got is this one nickel to my name. Me, the head of the house. And your mother won't give me my allowance till Monday.
But I'm not asking you for the money. I saved up $40 and I can get a swell little car and fix it.
I said no. My head is made up.
No.
Junior, when your father says no, he means no.
Oh, I can never get anything out of him.
Junior.
Let me handle this, Peg. Now, look, son, I ain't selfish like some fathers. I love to make sacrifices for my kids and give them things. To show you the kind of a father I am, you got $40 saved up for a jalopy? Save up $3,000 more and I'll buy you a brand new Cadillac.
But this won't cost you any money.
It ain't the money. I'm not going to have you speeding around in a car knocking over pedestrians.
Anyway, you're too young.
Yeah, wait till you're older. You can get a license to do it. Now, go on. Go get dressed or we'll be late for my club's picnic. You gotta go. I got us entered in the father and son race.
I'm not going.
Now, listen, Junior.
Never mind, Peg. Never mind. Let him stay home. I don't need him. I'll get his sister to be in the father and son race. Come on, let's go. Babs, you ready?
All set, Daddy. What's all the rumpus about?
Oh, they won't let me buy a car. All the other fellas
Junior,
are down.
Junior, I don't want to hear that word mentioned in this house again.
But why can't I have a car?
That settles it. You gotta be punished. No allowance for the next 4 weeks. And no football. You come right home after school and stay in your room.
Oh, but that's not fair.
I'm your father. I don't have to be fair.
Oh, you're always... I'll run away someday. You'll see.
No, Junior.
Yes, I will. I'll run away. You'll see. You'll be sorry.
Now look what you've done.
Look what I done. It's a losing fight.
Oh, Junior, dear.
Now, wait, Peg. Don't go in there. Let him stay in his room till he's ready to apologize. Now, come on. We'll be late for the picnic.
Oh, you and Babs, go ahead. I don't want to leave him like this.
Oh, he'll be all right. Peg, all kids talk about running away, but they never do.
Well, some of them do. You told me when you were a kid you once ran away from home.
Oh, that was different. My father was chasing me. Come on, let's go.
But, Riley, I'm worried about
Stop
Junior.
Stop worrying. He's just talking. I know child psychology. I just put myself in his place, and I know exactly what he's thinking.
You can't know.
Yes, I can. I may be 40 years old, but I can still think like a child.
Oh, hurry, Babs. Can't you walk a little faster, Riley?
Well, what's the rush, Dumpling?
Well, I want to get home. When a boy of 13 talks about running away, it's serious.
Fine thing, dragging me away in the middle of the pie-eating contest. I was 3 pies ahead, too.
Will you stop it, Riley? Here I am, sick with worry, but you care less for your own son than you do for those stale pies.
I resent that. There's nothing I care for more than my stale son. I mean... I worry about him plenty.
Please, Daddy, don't shout on the street.
Man, you don't look very worried now.
Because there's nothing to worry about. Silly. Kid ain't going to run away just because
Stop
I said...
Stop talking so much and open the door.
No free speech anymore.
Junior? Junior? I hear him in his room. Junior, is that you in there?
Well, Junior, why didn't you answer?
Oh, hello.
What? What are you doing with all those clothes?
Well, then look, he hid a suitcase under the bed.
I knew it. I told you he'd try to run away, but you wouldn't listen. You know all about boys.
Now, wait, just because he's packing don't mean he's running away.
Well, what else could it mean?
Well, maybe he's getting married, or... I mean...
Oh, Junior, how could you even think of running away? You ought to be ashamed.
I don't care. I can run away if I want to.
Junior, I won't hear that kind of talk.
Hold on, Peg. Let me handle this.
Well, go on, then.
So you want to run away from home, huh, Junior? Okay, go ahead, run away.
Riley!
I know what I'm doing, Peg, psychology. Go on, son. Run away. I give you permission. Come on. I'll help you pack.
Chester, are you out of your mind?
Just temporarily. Come out here, Peg. I want to talk to you. Go on with your packing, Junior.
Riley, what are you up to?
Don't you get it? The best way to stop a kid from doing a thing is to tell him to do it.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
Youngsters always do the opposite from what you tell them. That's the way I was when I was a boy. Whatever my folks said, I did the opposite. They said, go to school. I went to work. They said, work in an office. I worked in a factory. They said, marry that beautiful girl, Mary Wallace. I married you.
But, Riley,
I'll honestly tell him to run away. He'll stay home.
But suppose
you watch. He won't even leave the house. Now, you go make supper. I'll go back in there and use my psychology.
Oh, be careful now.
Well, Junior.
Daddy, you ought to straighten out this little dope. All he can talk about is running away to Mexico.
Mexico, huh? Well, in that case, I might as well say goodbye to you, Junior. Buenas noches, senorita. When you're down there, send me a basket of cucarachas. They're my favorite dish.
Daddy, it's no joke. He needs
Babe,
a good...
Babe, go help your mother.
Oh, all right.
Well, son, as we Mexicans say, hasta la visitor.
Quit making fun of me. I will run away someday, you'll see.
Someday? Do it now. Believe me, you'll love it. Here, let me pack for you. Yes, sir, I once ran away and joined the circus. They gave me a job as night watchman. I'd still be there, only I got fired. Somebody stole an elephant right from under my nose. Junior, here, you better take along these sweaters and this heavy underwear. It might be cold. Yes, sir, Junior, I had the best time of my life. There's nothing like running away from home.
Don't worry, I will.
You bet you will, and that's an order. And say, son, I notice you got pictures of me and your mother and your sister on the dresser here. Not that you'll get lonesome never seeing us, but might be a good thing to have them along.
Well, okay. Hand me Mom's picture, will you?
Here you are.
And Babs's picture?
There. And here's...
That's all.
Well, you might as well take mine, too, in case you want something to start a fire with. Well, you finish your packing. Don't forget to come in and say goodbye before you run away. Hey!
Riley, is everything all right?
Perfecto, senor. He's cured.
Oh, thank heaven.
You know what did it? I ordered him to run away.
You what?
I told him what a great time he'd have. He fell for it like a ton of bricks.
Oh, then he promised he wouldn't go.
Well, he didn't go that far. His pride wouldn't let him. But don't worry, he won't leave this house.
Well, what's he doing now?
Well, he's probably unpacking the valise. I packed it for him.
You packed it?
Yes, sir. That's what really changed his mind.
Oh, well, I'm glad that's over. Oh, Junior, supper's on the... He's gone.
He can't be. He must be hiding here someplace. Look in his valise.
Oh, the valise is gone. Look, the window's open. He went out the window.
Oh, no, he couldn't have. He must be hiding. Junior, come out. Don't play hide and seek. I'll find him.
Oh, stop looking in the inkwell. He went out the window. Oh, look, the shrubbery's all trampled.
Peg, my first hunch was right. He's gone.
Oh, you and your psychology. Of all the stupid, insane...
Now, Peg, take it easy. This is all... It's part of my plan. I knew he'd go.
You knew?
Well, sure, I figured he'd leave the house and then I'd follow him, see?
Well, then what are you standing there for? Go after him.
Yeah, I'm going. Now, don't worry. This is all part of my plan, see? Psychology. I'll give him enough rope until he hangs me.
Watch the step. Come on, kid. Make up your mind. You getting on this bus or not?
I'm getting on.
Well, snap into it. I ain't got all day.
Junior, wait for me. Hold it. Wait. Whew. I made it.
Deposit 5 cents in the box.
Another second and I'd have missed you, sonny.
Well, I suppose you want to take me home now. Well, okay, let's get off.
No, I wouldn't think of it. I'll just go along with you a little way.
Hey, what is this, a coffee clutch? Deposit 5 cents in the box.
Oh, gee, I left my money at home. I'll have to get off.
No, you won't. Here, I'll lend you a nickel. That's for my boy's fare, driver.
Okay. How about your fare?
Oh, yeah, sure. That was my last nickel.
Now, look, Mac, put your fare in a box or get off of the bus.
But you don't understand, driver. This is an emergency. My boy here is running away from home, and I've come to see him off. You know how it is. You're probably a father yourself. It ain't every day a boy runs away from home.
He's running away, and you're seeing him off?
Yeah.
There's nothing in the regulations that says I gotta transport screwballs. Now, get off!
Now, wait a minute. Hey, take it easy. Don't. Hey, wait! Stop!
Shh!
Junior! Junior, come back! Junior! He's gone. Could it be there's something wrong with my psychology?
Ben, where's Junior?
Peg, I got news for you. Junior's run away.
Oh, didn't you find him?
Well, I did and I didn't.
Well, what do you mean, Daddy?
Talk sense.
Well, I saw him getting on a bus, so I got on too, but he didn't have any money for his fare.
So they put him off?
No, I lent him a nickel.
You lent him a nickel?
Well, don't worry, he's good for it.
How could you do such a stupid thing?
Well, now, let me explain. You'll understand. You see, I figured that Junior would, the bus was, I thought if I went, how can I expect you to understand? I don't understand myself.
I should have gone after him myself. Oh, Riley, you'll give me gray hair.
Oh, don't cry, Peg. If I do, I'll tear him out by the roots. That's a promise.
Well, there's no sense standing here. We've got to find him. I'm calling the police.
No, you mustn't do that. We don't want a scandal. You know what the neighbors are like. They'll see the cops coming in here, and they'll think you beat me up.
They won't be far wrong. And I don't care what the neighbors think. I want to find my poor boy.
Well, so do I, Peg. But wait till tonight. He's sure to come back by then. I know just what's going on in his mind. So let's just use a little psychology.
If you say that word once more, I'll... Oh, I don't know why I ever listened to you. If it hadn't been for you, Junior...
Don't cry, Dumpling. Everything will be okay. I'll find him. I know it's natural for a mother to worry, but believe me, in 1 hour, your worries will be over. I'll have him back here, dead or alive.
We'll hear the second act of The Life of Riley in a moment.
Everybody.
And now back to The Life of Riley with William Bendix as Riley.
Hello, Babs.
Hello, Daddy. Any sign of him?
No. I looked everywhere. I turned the town upside down.
But where would a kid like Junior go to?
That's what I asked myself. I said to myself, where would I go if I was a kid and I ran away from home? I must have been to every burlesque show in town. Where's your mother?
Looking for Junior. She called before and she sounded awful over the phone.
Oh, I just can't face her, Babs. When she hears I didn't find him, Listen, we'll have to tell her that Junior is back.
But he isn't.
We'll make out that he is.
We can't do that.
Sure I can. I'll fix up pillows in Junior's bed so as it looks like him. I'll use a little pillow for his head and a big pillow for his... I can do it.
But, Daddy,
Then we'll tell her that she can't disturb him because he's sound asleep.
A fool mother like that, and she's sure to find out in the morning.
Well, by that time, Junior will be back. I know it. I guarantee it. I know boys.
No, Daddy, I won't have anything to do with it.
Please, Babs, you gotta help me out, please.
It's no use begging me.
I'm not begging you. As your father, I order you.
No.
All right, I'm begging you. You gotta do this, Babs. I just ain't got the heart to tell your mother I didn't find Junior. Not that I'm afraid of what she'll do to me. It's her I'm thinking of. She won't sleep all night.
I know,
but... You know how she worries. She's liable to get sick. You want your mother to get sick?
Well, of course not.
Well, then do like I say. At least then the poor darling will have a peaceful night.
Well, all right, if you think it's best.
I know it's best. And when have I been wrong?
But I... like the idea of lying to Mother.
Neither do I, but when you spare somebody's feelings, you ain't lying. I ought to know. I've been sparing your mother's feelings since the day we got married. There we are, Babs. Now, I'll just pull this blanket up a little. There, now I'll put the light out. Ah, that's better. Yes, sir, you could swear Junior's sleeping in that bed.
He looks a little lumpy.
Well, I won't let her get this close. It's your mother. Come on out and shut the door.
Oh, Riley.
Hey,
you...
I got good news.
Junior's back.
Yes, just a little while ago.
Oh, thank heaven. I was frantic. Is he all right? I want to see him. Junior?
Oh, he's sound asleep in his room. He was dead tired, so I put him right to bed. You mustn't disturb him.
But I just want to take one look at him. I won't feel at ease until I do.
Well, okay, just one peek. There he is. Don't go in. Just stand here in the doorway.
Well, I can't see very well.
Don't put the light on. You'll wake him up.
And all the poor dear. Did he have something to eat?
Well...
Don't worry. He's stuffed. Now, let's get out of here before he wakes up, Peg.
What a relief to have him home. Where was he all this time, did he say?
Plenty of time for questions in the morning. Now, you better go to bed. You need rest.
Oh, yes, I'm dead. Well, good night.
Good night, Delvin. Oh, at work, she don't suspect a thing.
I still don't like the whole idea.
Well, the main thing is she stopped worrying. Tonight, she's a happy mother.
But suppose she finds out you tricked her.
Well, then tomorrow night, she'll be a happy widow. I'm going out. I gotta find that boy. What a mess. The way I feel right now, I wish the earth would open up and swallow me.
Perhaps I can help.
Who's that?
It is I, Digby Odell, the friendly undertaker.
Oh, it's you, Digger.
Greetings, Riley. You look terrible. Glad to see you.
I got big troubles, Digger.
A common complaint. Whenever trouble besets me, I plunge into civic work. I've just come from the UEPSALC.
UEPSALC?
The Undertakers, Embalmers, and Pallbearers Save a Life Club. We're campaigning for careful driving.
Driving, that's what started the trouble with my boy, and now he's run away.
Oh, you have my sympathy. Once, when I lived in New York, my son Mossbank ran away.
Did you have trouble finding him?
I asked myself, where would a son of mine run away to? So I went there, and there he was, in Grant's tomb.
I can't find my boy anywhere.
Did you search thoroughly?
Yeah.
In our profession, we have a saying, leave no stone unturned.
Well, I looked all over town. I tell you, Digger, this whole thing's made me sick.
And your dear wife. She must be frantic.
Well, she's okay now. You see, I told her he came back home and she believed me.
And she thinks the boy is safe?
Yeah.
Man alive, if you'll pardon the expression. What possessed you to play such a cruel, practical joke?
Well, I didn't want her to worry tonight.
Beware, Riley, or your joke may boomerang, which happened to the late Ambrose Twill, whose epitaph I quote. Here lies Ambrose Twill, who thought it would be funny to scare the life out of Grandpa and inherit his money. He lit a 12-inch firecracker, but then forgot to throw it. Now Ambrose is in clover, but he doesn't know it.
But I'll find Junior by morning. I've got to.
Suppose you don't. Think of the shock to your beloved spouse. Take my advice. Go home. Tell her the truth.
I guess you're right. I'll go and tell her. Gee, Digger, you always give me such good advice. You should have been a lawyer.
Lawyer, undertaker, there's not much difference, basically. A lawyer gets people out of a hole while I... Oops, that reminds me, I have an appointment. Well, cheerio. I'd better be shoveling off.
I heard a noise in the kitchen. Were you or your father in the kitchen before?
Oh, not me. And Daddy went out. Go back to bed. You probably just imagined it.
No, I didn't. I heard somebody prowling around in there. Come on, we better go see.
Oh, it might be a burglar.
Who's there? Who's in there?
It's me, Junior. What do you... Will you put on the light?
Why'd you get up, Junior? And why are you all dressed?
I just got home.
You just got home. But I was in your room an hour ago, and I saw you sleeping at... Oh, I see. Well, I never thought I'd live to see the day your father outsmarted me.
Well, Daddy just put the pillows on the bed so you wouldn't worry tonight. You see, he figured...
Never mind that now. The important thing is Junior's really back. Oh, darling, do you realize what a terrible thing you did?
I'm sorry, Mom. Honestly,
we looked all over town for you.
Daddy's still out looking for you.
Where were you all this time?
In our garage.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
Hey, Mom, I'm hungry. I didn't eat all day.
Oh, you poor dear. You must be starved. There's your father now. Babs, make Junior a sandwich.
All right, Mom.
I'm going to have a little talk with your father.
Peg.
Here I am, Riley.
Oh, Peg, you're up. Peg, listen. There's something I gotta tell you.
I've got something to tell you.
No, let me tell you first. Prepare yourself for some shocking news. I'm a beast.
Well, what's the shocking news?
I fooled you, Peg. Junior didn't come back. I put pillows in the bed. You see, I didn't want you to worry. Please don't be sore. It was just one of my crazy ideas, but I didn't mean any harm. You know me. Everybody says I'm harmless.
Now, listen, Riley.
Now, don't you worry, Peg. I'll find Junior. I'll have him here before morning. I guarantee it. I got a plan, see?
Oh, you have, huh?
Yeah.
What? Who are you phoning?
The newspaper. I'm putting in a personal ad for Junior.
Oh,
that'll
Riley.
Bring him back. You'll see. Hello? Classified ads? This is Chester Riley, 1313 Blueview Terrace. I want to put an ad in the personal column.
Riley, will you please...
Shh. I want it to go like this. Dear Junior, please come back. All is forgiven. Come back and I'll...
Hello, Pop.
Oh, I can hear his little voice now. No! No, don't put that in the ad. Say like this. Come back, Junior. I'll raise your allowance, and I'll buy you a new bicycle, a red one.
With headlights.
With headlights.
Riley, hang up that phone.
When will you print it? Tomorrow morning? Okay. Peg, this ad'll get Junior. Junior, you're back. You came back. What a newspaper. Junior, my little baby.
Well, Pa, put me down.
Oh, Junior, darling, why did you run away? Your mother and me were so worried, darling. When we couldn't find you, we almost went crazy, darling. You deserve a good licking, darling.
Riley, what are you doing?
Taking my belt off. I never licked him before, but this time he's got to be taught a lesson.
Now, wait, Riley.
Bend over, Junior.
But Pa.
I said bend over.
Okay.
Now, wait a minute. Before I give it to you, I want an explanation. Why did you run away?
Well, I wasn't going to at first. I was only kidding, but...
But what?
But you talked me into it. I didn't want to run away. You forced me to.
Oh. Oh. Well, here, Junior, here's the belt. I'll bend over. come on, Peg. Don't be sore. I keep telling you I just didn't want you to worry. Come on, give me a kiss.
No.
Oh. Okay, don't give me a kiss. I forbid you to give me a kiss. I wouldn't let you kiss me if you gave me $100.
Your psychology won't work with me.
Trapped. Now I gotta get by on my good looks.
Procter & Gamble invites you to join us again next week to hear The Life of Riley with William Bendix as Riley. The Life of Riley is produced and directed by Irving Bracker. This is Ken Carpenter reminding you that for radiantly clean, lovely hair, get the shampoo in the tube. P-R-E-L-L, Prell Shampoo. And listen again next week when Prell brings you The Life of Riley. Good night.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
The Life of Riley, on Tune to Yesterday, from the 20th of September, 1947, on NBC. And that does it for this hour of sitcoms on Tune to Yesterday. Be with us again for more great shows from radio's past. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Livonier. Thanks for listening.